Wolverine. Wolverine.
This is Kelsey Strutz, joined by Quentin Himmler.
That's true.
And the best dressed man on Krakoa, Dane Rainier.
Woo! Taking a new thing out for a spin. I like it.
All right. Well, hello and welcome to the Examination Podcast. My name is Quentin Himmler. I'm so excited to talk to you about this week's issues. And joining me in discussing it, it's Kelsey Strutz.
I hope you don't edit that first part out.
Well, now I can't. You've talked about it.
Yes.
And Dane Rainier.
That's best dressed man on Krakoa, Dane Rainier. Thank you.
We're pretty hype about the Hellfire Gala this week. I hope you are too, regardless of our personal opinions, which we'll get into later. So let's talk about this week's issues, which include Marauders 21, X-Force 20, and Hellions number 12. Will there be a change in the power rankings of books this week? You'll have to wait and see if Hellfire Gala can inject some new life into the other books or if Hellions will reign supreme. But first, before we discuss those guys, let's talk what's new in the world of Marvel. And checking in with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we've got the Disney Plus newest show, Loki. Kelsey, is Loki going to pull you in? You're going to be watching Loki on Friday?
This week, right? Or Friday?
Yeah.
Wednesday. It comes out on Wednesdays.
Oh, next Wednesday.
Yeah. So
the 9th, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, I will end up watching it. One, because I consume a lot of Marvel products. Two, we do a podcast and it's going to come up. And three, my wife likes Tom Hiddleston as Loki, so she will want to watch it. So am I interested in the story of Loki? Not overly, but I have heard that they portray him more like they kind of did in the first Thor, where his power level is quite high, that he's not someone you just run over. He is a god in a way.
Yeah, he really is. Tom Hiddleston been a big part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, dating all the way back to Thor 1. And he really brought home Avengers as an antagonist. Can he carry a show on his own, though? Dane, do you think Tom Hiddleston will be able to pull that off? Not just Tom Hiddleston, but the character of Loki.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I think they've set it up in a way where they have, as many options as they could possibly want. They can basically do anything with the show that they want. And I think Tom Hiddleston as an actor certainly has the power to carry a franchise. I mean, I guess you could make the argument maybe Loki is one of those characters like Deadpool, you know, where less is more, and maybe it bottoms out after you get too much. But I don't know. I think Tom Hiddleston has what it takes to carry that.
I'm sorry. Are you saying we've gotten too much Deadpool?
No. I'm not saying for X-Men right now, but I think generally, I think Deadpool is one of those characters that if you overuse him or overspam that kind of concept, it's like...
So you're not excited for the rumor that he is the new Stan Lee for cameos?
No, but I think in cameos, that's exactly the dosage that you can use him in, right? Like, haha, get your joke, move on. But they've done a great job with the Deadpool movies, too. Yeah. So maybe that's a totally...
To be fair, that has to be put on Ryan Reynolds, though, for being so adamant about being a rated R film.
Right, doing it the way he wanted to, which is right. But we've gone off track. Ultimately, I think Tom Hiddleston can carry Loki.
Yeah, I'm excited for this show. I know Owen Wilson's going to be in it.
Wow.
So it's definitely got the acting chops to to keep us going. And we'll see if the storyline delivers narratively. Disney Plus has definitely shown, though, that they can deliver on the action front. Don't you guys think?
100% of 100%.
At this point, until they prove that they have the ability to screw one up, I'm just going to assume they're going to pump out at least B-plus content.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a world we live in.
It's nuts.
What a world. A world a while ago, I was reading the Ultimates book written by Mark Millar and Brian Hitch. We just found out Mark Millar's latest Netflix show got canceled. Jupiter's, what was it, Legacy?
Oh,
and
I thought that was well-received, though.
Nah, only one season and done.
I never watched it.
Yep. Exactly.
Contributing to the problem.
So One of the partners that Mark Millar had, though, on his Ultimates run, where he reinvented the Avengers as we know him, which kind of led to some of the MCU things we saw on screen, was Brian Hitch. And this week we have a piece of news here. Brian Hitch is going to be returning to Marvel to do a Venom comic. What do you guys think of that thought of Brian Hitch doing a Venom book? Is this something that's going to excite you, or is he not enough of a pull to get you excited about a book
like Venom? Well, after I read the list of who all is involved, where it's
Al Ewing, who did
Immortal Hulk.
Mortal Hulk.
The guy who did Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Apparently, like, the guys who have won Best Comic Writer of the Year for, like, past 5 years kind of thing are taking the helm of that. So that alone has me excited. The fact that they're going to go back to... They're going to put Eddie Brock, I think, back into space. And Flash Thompson as Agent Venom is coming back, too. Which... as a character, I thought that was a fascinating take on the Venom franchise. You know, taking someone, you know, a war veteran with, you know, no legs and stuff, and inserting him back in there. I'm excited for it. I'm more excited for this than I was for that King in Black stuff.
That King in Black stuff. No, I'm with you. I think Brian Hitch is exciting to me. The writing team's excited. I wonder, how do you go back, though, to Venom as a Spider-Man antagonist? Do you think Marvel has any intentions of that? Because at this point, you know, you go big with Brian Hitch, you go big with Space Venom storylines.
Yeah, you put him
Dane, in. Dane, can you ever go back to Venom as the heel of Spider-Man? Sinister Six Venom?
Well, I think it depends. I think there's still room for that, certainly, in movies. Because I think he almost has to work. He has to be introduced as a villain, as an antagonist first, that sort of makes that journey to anti-hero. But I don't know about in the stories. I mean, do you really need to? Spider-Man has so many villains.
Yeah, I think
it's fine to say the era of Venom as the classic bad guy has passed and, you know, to continue with his other rogues gallery. And Venom's just, he's ascended. He's become more independent than that.
And I like having him in space. The sci-fi stuff with Venom, I think, is a good fit. You know, making it more about the alien suit and how he deals with that out there, and it is the right direction to go instead of just the 90s Venom of I'm gonna eat people. When Matt Gargan was Venom, that was entertaining for eating people, but if you want to take him a more heroic route, this is the way to go.
Plus,
and again, Dane, did you ever read The Immortal Hulk?
No, I didn't.
It's really good.
Plus, the idea of Venom, though, being a villain is just like, put the symbiote on somebody different.
Which is what, again, when they did Thunderbolts, when Matt Gargan was...
That's Venom. What I mean. Like, when you said that, it made me realize, like, the idea of, like, oh, Venom can't be a villain again. It's like, just put him on, put a the T-Rex. Symbiote on somebody different, on anything.
He was on the T-Rex.
T-Rex!
Yeah, he was
a T-Rex.
You can go back to making that character a villain. It's just a different version of the villain. That's something that Venom is already set up to do so well.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't agree more. I think Venom has been on a hot streak. I'd like to see that continue, and I might check it out. Might pull me in for number one. We'll see. Let's talk the world of X-Men, though, and jump into this week's issues. X-Men,
lay out the red carpet.
Yeah,
it's the green carpet in Krakoa.
That's so lame.
No, that's true. I'm not making that.
I know.
That's
I right. know you're not. It's just lame.
Why is that lame?
I don't know. Green carpet. It just sounds cheap.
Pretty humanist of you.
They've already got grass. I get it. Things are green there.
Yeah, so it's the green carpet.
Yeah,
it's
dumb.
But continue. We're going to start our Hellfire Gala conversation. After the disappointing Ten of Swords, what do you guys hope to see from the Hellfire Gala? What would cement this book for you? What does it need to do different?
Murder.
Than to the
mystery.
Swords?
Maybe friends become enemies. Enemies become friends.
Oh, a little of the mad Russian there.
Well, I'll agree with you. Like, Ten of Swords, like, really fell on that. It didn't. They were more interested in arm wrestling competitions than, like, a character.
The status quo did not get upset in any way. Like it really.
Which is nuts because
they have a whole new island and smashed into it.
It is amazing how little things have changed. Like, if I told you what happened in that event that changed, it's like, oh, like a million new mutants from another universe got smashed into this one. It's like,
what's happened
in the comics? Maybe like two people have shown up.
Yeah, a bar fight and then the unbeatable or whatever. Ixa the unbeaten or something.
Iska the unbeaten.
Yeah,
Iska so the few.
Run her mouth. That's it.
So few, they would have been better off not doing anything because right. I don't even know, like, what's going on. Like, it seems unbelievable. Like, that nobody acknowledges what happened.
I've liked when those things show up because it's a reminder that, like, that it is
something happened.
But you are right. I wish there was more. Like, why was it just, like, not right out of the gate, an immediate dynamic change? Why are they not dealing with these? Because so much of these books have been about how does Krakoa deal with the problems that it's facing?
Yeah.
And each book is kind of in a different way, a different lens of that problem. But none of them have addressed this entire upheaval of a new people joining the island. It's almost all but ignored.
And you know, those people, they cause trouble. They're not, they've had generations upon generations that do not have any idea of how the planet they're on now. They don't know how it runs. They don't care how it runs.
Well, and they don't live in civilization. They are a tribe at war constantly.
Yeah. If you can write Warlock and you can write Bishop, like, time displaced, like, why can't you write Arako people? Like, they can totally be relatable as much as anybody else.
It almost feels like they weren't prepared for it. Like,
they didn't have a 6-month pandemic.
Right. No, I know, to get this exactly right. But it almost feels like somebody came and, like, they had a plan. They've had a plan drawn out for a year, and then somebody was like, you have to drop this in the middle of it. And then they have just, like, done slight adjustments to, like, make it sort of fit. But, yeah, it's even less believable, more of a problem, because there was such a huge gap that you even had extra time to plan how to do this and how to work with it.
Yep. Well, let's go ahead and break down each individual issue, then we'll talk about the event at large. Starting with Marauders number 21. Dang, what happened to Marauders 21?
The night Emma has been planning is finally here. It's the Hellfire Gala. Guests from all over arrive. Captain America and the Avengers, an obstinate Tony Stark, an unimpressed Doctor Doom, and the Fantastic Four, including Reed Richards with a secret, stern message for Xavier. There's something for everyone. Music with a psychic projection of how it feels to be a master musician. Emma finding and then quickly losing an attraction to Steve Rogers. Even some throwing of the dice out back, gambling for cash. A Shi'ar ambassador appears to tell Emma that he's fulfilled her request, yet Emma has no idea what he's talking about. Ambassadors make deals while the Cuckoos restore an unknown memory to the young Wilhelmina of Verendi. The issue ends with a toast from Emma and then skips to the end of the party with a promise of more plot lines ripe for explanation in the rest of our gala issues. What is magic proposed to Doctor Strange? What are the ambassadors all aflutter about? What's the big problem Captain America thinks Cyclops has solved? As a bonus treat, the book gives us 12 extra pages of a former Claremont-era Hellfire Gala.
Oh, goody. So, do you think some of these issues are going to be... Do you think any of these plots are going to be delivered on in the Hellfire Gala event, Kelsey?
Yes.
And did you care about them?
Yes, I think it's going to be delivered on. I think this was a good issue as far as setting the stage. It gave you the beginning, and it gave you the end. And now it can leave the middle parts basically to fill everything in. Obviously, something big happens during this event that is going to cause other nations to make drastic choices. Captain America's obviously upset by something, and he's, you know, miffed, and he asked Cyclops, did you know about it? It brings up some of the fun aspects of it early on, like the dice rolling, etc., which really does fit everyone involved in that scenario. The fact that they're all out back and the thing comes out, he's like, oh, where he's upset that he wasn't invited. The dynamics of Tony Stark. Even the whole thing with the cuckoos messing with the cuckoos messing with the Verendi, you know, unlocking an old memory that I don't know what it is. And this has been one of the better Marauder issues in a while for me. I enjoyed reading this one. It captured Emma Frost pretty well in her behavior. Kitty Pryde wasn't trying to punch someone in the face every time. I mean, Kate Pryde, sorry. And the little thing like Dane mentioned with the attraction to Steve Rogers and then the quick change of attraction. One critique I have, I'll give a critique in the dynamic, maybe, and the way they display power. The allowance of all these foreign dignitaries to allow them to put anything in their mind with the display of the instruments, and this is how it feels to be a master musician. Well, my problem with that is they just allowed someone to put any thoughts into their
brain. A foreign nation to infiltrate your thoughts.
Right. And I guess we can get into someone who has a very good, you know, issue with that. They bring up a good point about that in X-Force.
Yeah. There are a few things that struck me as slightly odd. For example, one of the big ones for me that I kind of got, I don't know, annoyed with this issue was, like, one, Captain America and Cyclops, I've never known them to, like, get along super well. And last time I know that they discussed, they were trying to kill each other. Few other issues. Like you guys mentioned, the Stepford Cuckoos being there. Dr. Doom being there after such a recent issue they had where he tried kidnapping and murdering, and like enslaving mutants. Seems rather strange.
But I think that's the point, is that friends and
yeah, just because you address it doesn't mean it feels realistic. Just because you're like, oh, you better be good, Dr. Doom. Like,
it just felt...
The whole idea is
that... To be fair, Putin still gets invited to stuff.
Right, the whole idea is it is friends and enemies alike. It's gaining allies. If you're not gaining the allyship of enemies, at least gauging them. I mean,
or that's displaying power in front of
exactly.
them.
Exactly. I mean, the whole point is this is a display of Krakoa. It's not just a party for Krakoa, right? This is a political event that's going on.
If it's so well planned and you're playing such chess that you're so far ahead of Dr. Doom, why don't you know what the Shi'ar are delivering, and why aren't you telling them to screw off until you know what they're delivering? If you're so five steps ahead of everyone,
but you're not,
that Dr. Doom's not a threat to bring into your house.
I don't think that's what it is, though. I think, okay, I mean, number one, you're just like, okay, you know, there shouldn't be any bad guys. You know,
and the
Shi'ar
are theoretically allies.
And so, we don't know what's going on there. We don't know what the situation is. And I think part of it is the idea is that, like, Emma's not just going to say, I don't know what you're talking about, go away. Like, she is playing the role of the gracious host. You can't appear off put by anything, because that's not a position of strength, certainly not in front of these people.
So I mean, I just I guess you guys can suspend disbelief. I feel like if you went up to, like,
I assume you have to.
Jeff Bezos, if you went up to Jeff Bezos and you're like, yes, I have this shipment of the thing we agreed to, and you're like, I don't know what that is, I'm gonna send my brother out to look at it.
Well, okay, number one, though, Bezos
in the middle of a party.
Bezos doesn't run a nation. They're not. It's not a political event. Like, he is a corporation, but that is different than an independent nation. And number
two, Michelle Obama.
And number two, do you think it's that wild that Bezos might think, hey, there was something that happened, some deal?
Remember, this is a Hellfire Gala, not the Krakoa Gala.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a Krakoan event, clearly. But I mean, do you really think it'd be that crazy?
So it's like Amazon
that Bezos would think
something
that
for the U.S. Is what
right, I mean, is it that crazy that you would think Bezos maybe doesn't know every single deal that his companies are handling, and he might be like,
yeah,
hey, I don't
yeah,
know
but I think
about
it'd be
to take care of it.
But when somebody walks up to you and is like this, I don't think
it's that unrealistic to be like, hey, thanks for that, I'll have this person take
care
of it.
Yeah, the thing we agreed on.
The most unrealistic thing are all the ambassadors allowing mental manipulation to go on.
Look, I think
you already touched on that. I didn't feel like I needed to address
it. I'm touching it again.
I think what Kelsey has said about it is it's a great setup point because it makes a lot of promises of fun storylines as this event goes on. And I think you're right that in a lot of ways, this whole run, this whole series is going to be judged based off of if those promises get fulfilled in interesting ways.
Right.
But this is a great issue to tease those things about, hey, here's some of the stuff that you're going to get. Here's some of the stuff that you get, you know, you can look forward to. And how do you think this is going to resolve and see how the puzzle pieces fall in? It feels like, you know, kind of that theme of, or that genre of movies where like you have the information sort of at the start, but it's like, how are we going to get there? What's going to fill in between? So I don't know. It almost reminds me of like Clue, the old Clue movie.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be mystery. There's going to be stuff, but it's like, how do we get there? That's the interesting part. Not where do we get to?
You guys didn't feel like the Fantastic Four and specifically the children of the Fantastic Four felt like really forced.
Well, it feels forced because Franklin's not a mutant anymore. And they're like, any humans welcome here, especially you, Franklin.
And Reed doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, but like that's part of the fun. Like, what did Reed tell him?
Yeah, but
what was so important that Reed wanted to just smugly say that to Xavier's face, right? So I don't know. I just thought there was a lot of great setup, a lot of great moments. And the one thing I'll say, the other thing is, can this just be Jean's new outfit? This is way better than like the Marvel Girl suit. Sort of the Krakoan green, but it has some the more traditional like psychic wraparound headpiece. Like this is way better than the 60s like skirt suit that she's got going on right now.
Skirt suit.
Yeah. I felt like Hickman was trying to do something. And then it was like 2 years later. We're like, what were you doing?
Do you remember that? Like 2 years ago when we were like, what do you think these costumes mean? Why do you think he picked these? And now it's still like, I think he may have just picked ones that he liked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I think ones that, had iconic moments associated with him. So let's go ahead and shift gears, staying in the Hellfire Gala, but let's talk about the next issue, X-Force number 20.
All right, this is Hellfire Gala Security Edition, where the members of X-Force are running security for the Hellfire Gala, opening up with a banter between Quentin Quire and Tony Stark, bringing up the very important thing of, I am not going to let you into my brain because I am a genius with state secrets and patents. Go screw yourself, and still gets into the party. All right. So during that period, Wolverine is on his patrol and is forced to come face to face with a party crasher, but that'll be revealed later because first we have to deal with the fact that the Terra something blah, blah, blah have their ambassadors there. But as we recall last time, Beast has been messing with their telefloronics to sort of control them, I guess, and has them there basically planting bio bugs on all the other ambassadors. Xavier doesn't know why. Xavier has given Beast free rein to do these things. Emma, though, is a little perturbed by what's going on and confronts Sage about it, basically letting her know, hey, this is a problem. Well, going back to Wolverine, who is checking out what is happening on the beach, making sure there's not dangerous invaders, he finds a party crasher. Swimming up in his rubber ducky outfits is none other than Deadpool, a not actual mutant, but honorary mutant, which allows him to get shit-faced at mutant parties, by his own words. After a fight involving those two and then Domino, we are treated to the ambassador from the Terra blah, 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 and the fact that apparently he has been biohacked and is now a monster loose on the island. Oh, to be continued in Wolverine.
Other X-Force, you mean?
No. Oh, yeah. Other. Yeah. I will leave you with the quote, though, from Deadpool. You know you want it. You know you want me in you, X-Force.
Dane, did Deadpool's impregnation jokes and these terrorists do it for you?
Oh, I mean, I think it's interesting as the first issue after Marauders to see how are these books going to keep their identity while being a greater part of the whole. because I think that's something we've talked about in Ten of Swords, right? They kind of got lost. They were just another issue of Ten of Swords with a different character. So I think this is interesting that it is following the X-Force team. It is dealing with their past setup storylines. And I mean, I think it's interesting to me to see just what is clearly a full Dark Beast turn. Like, this is no longer a on the fence, oh, he has some loose morals sort of things. Like, this is just straight up, especially from the art. They give a classic bad guy style look with the, you know, the bright light over the glasses. Like, this is a villain move. I mean, this is...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
This is, like, your theoretical political allies that you are just infecting to do your bidding, to spy on other, you know, political...
Without your Quiet Council knowing the details of stuff either. Your government doesn't actually know what you're doing.
Yeah, the espionage that you're involved in.
Yeah, you've been given free rein, apparently, to just, black ops, here we go, boys.
So I think from that point of view, it's fun to see X-Force's identity within the gala. I think it's fun to see some of the scenes that are specifically entirely overlap panels, that kind of style. Like I said, maybe that's kind of the thing that reminded me a lot of how like the movie Clue worked, mm-hmm. just getting those overlapped scenes and what's changing and getting more pieces of the puzzle. And then they're just fun parts continuing the gala, like, you know, just getting to see Emma in full control of the situation. That it's like, I have to take a quick detour, but I'm controlling this night. This is mine, and nothing's going awry.
I liked Emma Frost bringing up the fact where he's saying, like, if the other nations, if they find out what you've done, it's like, it doesn't just ruin the night. It's like, you've got, you know, far-reaching implications on what you have just done.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think this book has some potential, as X-Force tends to have. I don't know that it did it for me. I don't know that Deadpool was enough to make it interesting from what we've already known. Like, as much as you're like, oh, they showed Beast look like a villain, we've been saying that since issue one of this book. 20 issues in, progress. Give it to me.
But this isn't a questionable move anymore.
This is straight up villain. He has a puppet government in another country.
This is indefensibly bad.
I don't know what you've been watching this whole time.
What do you mean?
Beast has been torturing people. Jean Grey quit the team. This isn't something where it's like, okay, so he crossed the line here. Like, have him cross the line if that's your line in the sand.
To be fair.
So this is the big issue. You telling me that this is a pinnacle issue where 20 issues have led to this and Beast finally revealed himself? That's what you're telling me?
I've mentioned him being bad for a while. Nothing changed.
Get out.
Quentin, you have defended Beast for a while.
Yeah. I don't think this is a good issue.
I think we've clearly talked about Beast being bad because this is the path. But this is this is the high point tip of evil.
Yeah.
I don't think, up to this, it's been defensible. It's been, hey, this is what we have to do. This is, you know, what we have to do to save our people.
He's still being evil to terrorists.
This isn't evil to terrorists.
Still doing what it takes to protect Krakoa's interests.
But this is not this isn't defensible in the sense of, oh, we have to do it. It's an emergency. This is literally a time of peace. There is no concern, and he is overbearing the will.
What do you say? The Patriot Act was evil?
What? Is this the Patriot Act? Is that what we're saying? Infecting people to make them our mind zombies to plant spyware in opposing nations?
Yeah, other states.
I think this was a completely in character as it's been for the last 20 issues of Beast. And I don't think he did anything that surprised me.
I think you're crazy if you don't think this is a clear step further.
This does not surprise me, but this does feel like progression of his character into more of an evil character.
Sure.
Not enough Tom Cassidy, though, in this issue, I'll tell you that.
Tell Beast to back off because evil characters are already taken. They're in a book we call Hellions. Each and every week. With Hellions number 12, we get to see some of our favorite characters in Krakoa doing the thing. Havoc fits in well at the party. However, the rest of them do not belong. They quickly make fool of themselves at the Hellfire Gala as Gray Crow and Psylocke develop their relationship further. Wild Child gets a bout of jealousy and starts to confront Dakin. And Mr. Sinister tries to play with the big leagues, but just makes a fool of himself. Quickly, Empath, Gray Crow, Psylocke, Wild Child, Orphan Maker, Nanny, and Sinister all make such a fool of themselves that they're kicked out of the party very quickly. Havoc's left to try and clean up the mess and stays behind. The rest of the team's expelled from the party. Only the run in the Sinister after some infighting, who looks like he has some scars, maybe some surgical scars on his head. What's going on with the Hellions? I don't know. But my favorite issue of the Hellfire Gala is Hellions number 12. And it has very little to do with the Hellfire Gala. That's my take.
Okay. One, I don't think you went deep into this enough. We didn't even talk about Sinister in the beginning. Just the flagrant just ego of him. Even the simple
thing. Yeah, trying to play big with the Avengers.
Trying to. He's talking to Iron Man and Captain America. Goes, now, which one of you's Captain America? Which one of you's Iron Man? I'm sorry. I don't own a TV.
DP.
No, it's great, but people should read the book. Like, I'm just telling you what happened in general so you can pick it up. But, yeah, it's so good.
Again, I agree with you. Top issue. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed what Gray Crow, his response. He's not allowed in. He really has a thing for Psylocke, obviously, now. And
I feel like this book moved forward.
They
I feel like
both drinking
and characters
he crashes a party. It was interesting to see Wild Child be a little different. That he has, it's not just this pack mentality. Like, sometimes he can be in control of himself.
Nanny confronting Sinister. It's like, okay, so now Nanny's ready to go toe-to-toe with Sinister.
I don't think Sinister was kicked out of the party. The Sinister you're seeing, that's got to be one of the...
I agree. I think that's a different
Sinister. That's a different one. Because he's not even wearing the same cape.
Outfit.
Cape is different.
Yeah.
So I think it's a different Sinister, and he's unaware kind of what those people, what they're all doing. So it's a Sinister from a different... He's got a different background. I don't know if he broke out of some clone thing, or remember they, you know, the rock, paper, scissors or whatever to see which Sinister had to go to Outworld
or Otherworld.
Otherworld.
I mean, there's just so many Sinisters out there. There's no way to know.
So I enjoy this. It was my favorite only because I really enjoy Hellions and I get just a big kick out of it. I mean,
dude, they progressed relationship forward. The Hellions played themselves. And this new Sinister is interesting.
This doesn't add anything to the Hellfire Gala. I will say that. Nothing to the Hellfire Gala is added. This is a Hellions book, kind of like Ten of Swords. It was set in that area, but it is its own book. It's going to progress its own storyline, obviously.
Empath had a moment where he reflected on his past mistakes and like actually felt something. Wild Child, I pity the fool. I feel like he's grown too, and people don't see that about him.
And is this one where they were talking to Magneto?
Yes, because Havoc is really wanting the details about Madeline.
That was good. Also, you see Magneto's outfit and just go, this looks like a circus performer. This is
not a Hellions problem.
Magneto and Xavier have some of the worst outfits.
They have absolutely the worst outfits.
They're dropping the worst albums.
Yeah, they're dropping the worst album. But I say it's the best this week, but it's only because I really enjoy Hellions and they tend to just put out banger after banger. As relates to the Hellfire Gala, I mean, I guess technically not, because it doesn't really do anything to the Hellfire Gala, you know, from that perspective. But it also remains to be seen as we go forward.
Sure does. Dan, you've had some thoughts here. You weren't as big of a fan of Hellions. Dan, you don't like Hellions. What is your problem with Hellions, and why do you think other issues are better than Hellions?
Dan, shouldn't you be calling the Hellions?
Hellions, thank you.
The Hellions are here.
So here's the thing. Hellions, it's a great book. Overall, it's a great book.
Best book.
This is a good issue.
The best issue.
I disagree. I don't think this is, for the first time in a long time, I don't think it's the best issue that
he's got Marauders number one.
I'll take Marauders over the Hellions. Hellions is good. This is a good book. It's not to put it down.
What do we learn about characters?
Look, you keep saying this like some great revelation happened here, that what Beast did wasn't progression, but that there was a great look. This was fun. The Hellions got drunk at a party, and it was an entertaining read. There is not a overarching major change that happens here. It's a fun
I think you couldn't have a worse take in life.
I think you were blinded by the love of Hellions, which is understandable.
Bananas.
No.
It's overall a great book, but I think you're just, I mean, you're looking past any flaw it could have and just immediately ascending it to the top. I think it's a good issue. It's fun. Like, it knows what it is, and so you can put it in any situation, and it's good and it's fun. But in a lot of ways, this book reminds me of, like, later seasons of the show Archer, right? Where they just dump a different theme on top of it. And it's still funny because it's well developed.
What?
Yes.
Are you nuts? Like, Marauders doesn't even have the characters in Marauders in it. Like Emma Frost is the only one. Kate Pryde's there for
fair,
just there.
To be fair, he compared it to Archer, which is not a bad comparison. That is great.
No, I think the late seasons of Archer are, I agree, like, repetitive, and like
they're good.
There's more movement here than any Marauders character has made.
But okay, but now you're just judging any comic by what movement was made. Like, there's other things to judge comics by, and this one was fine. It was funny, and it was entertaining, and I enjoy it. And obviously, you know, the Hellions getting drunk and a drunk Nightcrawler is a great cherry on top.
Yeah,
but
you keep adding things to it.
No, it's good, it's fun, but there's I don't think there's any huge revelation.
I forgot about Nightcrawler. The best parts are all here.
No, look, it's a good book. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm telling you that,
but you can't give Marauders points because it might pay off later. You can't be like this. Like, I've learned from Ten of Swords, you can't just go, this book sets up things that could be good later on and go, that makes this book good.
Sure you can. I think there's I think the ability to set stories up is in and of itself an aspect of storytelling. This is fun. It's a good
book. You're telling me this didn't set up a new Sinister clone? You're telling me this didn't set up the new dynamic of Psylocke and Grey Crow and Havoc kind of being on the outside, still stuck on Madeline Pryor, not being able to move forward?
I keep saying it's not the best, and then you were just like, so you're saying it's garbage? You're saying you hate this part?
No, I'm like, saying Marauders is not as good as this. That's what I'm saying.
I'm telling you, this is a good book. I'm not trying to put this book down, but I think to pretend that Hellions is just the best because it has Hellions on top of it would be ignoring...
I'm saying it's because of the characters. You're acting like it's just because of
this. You're talking like Empath had some great revelation here. He has like four lines, and one of them was, I made him think he was drunk.
What? Wait. Here's the thing. Hellions is good. It's great. I look forward to the next Hellions. Marauders did a good job of making me excited and interested in the event itself. I am interested in the Hellfire Gala now because of Marauders. Hellions I'm ready for the next Hellions because you could put one out every week. I'll be happy with that. You know, so...
If I'm tiering books as a whole, Hellions is still the best. I'm not trying to, like, say, oh, it's taken a huge turn off. It's awful. I'm just saying, on a looking visual individual weekly basis, I think Marauders was a better issue than Hellions this
week. Hold on. If you take it in isolation, let's say Hellions nosedives from here on out, and it's not good. And let's say the Hellfire Gala nosedives from here on out, it's not good. You would pick Marauders number 20 as a better, or 21 as a better issue than Hellions 12.
Yes.
Is Emma Frost in all of her outfits throughout this entire thing?
Not in Hellions.
And we're headed to the danger room where we play 20 questions, where the contestants have 20 yes or no questions to figure out the person, place, thing, or idea in the Marvel universe. And that idea can't be being a good book because Marauders was apparently the good book this week. So let's go ahead and let the questioning begin.
Is this a character?
Yes.
Is this character a man?
Yes.
Is this character a mutant?
No.
Is this character an alien?
No.
Is this character a villain?
No. It's five.
Yep.
Is this character a human?
Yes.
Question mark. Did this character appear in this week's issues?
Yes.
Is this character a political figure?
No.
Did this character appear in Marauders?
Yes.
Would you consider this character to be adolescent or young?
Yes.
Is this person closely associated with the Fantastic Four?
Yes.
Was this character once considered a mutant, but is now not considered a mutant?
Yes.
Franklin Richards.
Yes. Franklin Richards. They did it. Hellfire Gal is really good. The X-Men era is often a good run. Good books like Hellions are not the best books that come out each week.
Are we not
and
talking about...
We're more excited about potential storylines that may pay off. So let's go ahead and call it a Marauders week. We're so excited for the Hellfire Gala.
I mean, what they wore was just a travesty.
I'm so excited that I'm... What an awful person I am being excited about this event.
I think if the book was good, I would be excited.
Well, then you should be excited.
So what is it about the Hellfire Gala? What do they have to do to deliver? Like, what is the Cyclops Captain America conversation? What could deliver for you on that front?
I don't know. That's what's exciting about it to me. The whole point of this is that there is a ton of mystery out there, right? And there is...
Who's the Sinister clone?
Yeah, that's... Sure, that
what's
is
he about?
I am excited about that. How
well,
does
I know
this
exactly the Sinister clone is.
He's that's sinister. That's true.
Will Havoc do something drastic to get Madeline Pryor resurrected? These are great twists of the Hellfire Gala. What's Nanny's endgame in standing up to Sinister? These are questions I'm wondering about the Hellfire Gala.
I have to use my position as a host to Carnival Bark. People know what's good.
Why was Nightcrawler so drunk? I don't know.
He drank. I'll cross that mystery off the list.
All right. Well, that's about all the time we got for this week. We're super excited for the Hellfire Gala. Let's see next week if they can reveal some of these secrets we're so excited about. Until then, I'll see you next time.
Next time on Examination Podcast.
Hello, fellow Danger Room survivors. This is Dane thanking you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I want to invite you to join the Examination community by checking us out at our website and Twitter. We'd love to hear what you think of the podcast and get your suggestions for questions of the week and Marvel 20 questions. You can find us at examination.blogspot.com and on Twitter at examination. That's examination.blogspot.com and at examination spelled the same way. While you're at it, help us grow the community by giving us an Omega-level review wherever you listen to the podcast. See you next week.